All right, we'll move on to the next one. Any next question? Yes, sir. Marion.
I asked you last week in private.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
that's right.
Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 5. 22-23. Okay. Okay, his question is, and by the way, he's getting married here, as some of you else of you are too. This is part of his assignment. So he asked me this last week, and I said, well, you need to ask that. I said, there's other people that need to know this too. So I forgot about that. I'm glad he remembered. But the book of Ephesians, especially in chapter 5 from 22 on or 21 on down here, is really the mandate that shows you that what the husband and wife relationship is really all about. And the husband and wife relationship, the example that he uses for us to understand our relationship with Christ is the husband and wife relationship. In other words, he picks something that we could all identify with. We as human beings, we have emotions, we have feelings, we feel love, we feel anger, we feel all of those things, and all of those things combined together in a husband and wife relationship, you know, really begin to show us what our relationship should be with Christ. In fact, when you get saved, you enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as a man. He becomes part of your life, and you love him, you reverence him, and you give him all the things that you're supposed to give him, and he gives back to you and takes care of you. And the longer you're in that relationship with him, the more the thing that makes you love God more and more every day is the fact that you begin to understand to a greater degree what the grace of God is really all about. The longer you live, the bottom line is easy to know how to say it, the longer you live, if you're paying attention and you're growing in the Lord, the one thing that sticks out in your mind that makes you love God more and more every day is the fact that you are so unlovable. How could God ever love us and put up with me the way that I am? Nobody knows you better than yourself. You know exactly what and who you are. You know what you're, and I'm not putting anybody above anybody else. We're all human. We all make our mistakes. We all struggle. But the bottom line is, on your best day, we're pretty bad. And in spite of that, God loves us and God puts up with it. When you realize that and understand it, and then you realize what grace is, how that God, in spite of all that, still loves us and takes care of us, you just can't help but love him more every day. And as you grow through life, you really, and that relationship really goes, and you grow and you just really understand how much he loves you and how much he's there for you and how much he takes care of you, you just can't help but love him more and more and more to the place where it overwhelms you almost. Well, a woman is the same way. I don't care if it's a man. I don't care if it's a woman. Their relationship with Christ, as it grows and grows and grows, they both understand and should come to the same realization. That is that they are human. We're frail. God loves us in spite of that. He's always there for us. The verses over and over again, he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he's a friend and a very present help in time of trouble. He's always there. He may have to whip you sometimes, may have to chastise at a time, but there's never a time, even in that, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that it yields the peaceable fruit of God after a period of time. I mean, there isn't anything in our relationship with God that isn't good. Now, God did that for a reason. Because he uses the wife and the husband as a model. Because on this life, God allowed us in his plan to have husband and wife relationships. That husband and wife relationship has to have a role model. That role model in both cases is the wife's relationship with God and the man's relationship with God. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Definition. You look at your life, how God loves you, how He takes care of you, you're the church. How he never does anything to hurt you, He never belittles you, He always cuts you slack, He always patient with you. I mean, stop and think of all the dumb things we have done in our lives that Christ could have really come down and just made a fool of us out of. He never did. He's always faithful, He's always there, He's everything He needs to be. That's what a husband needs to be to his wife. Now, because Christ is that to me, that is the thing that makes me... Now, I got to tell you the truth. When I first got saved, I'm going to tell you that I love God, but I probably really didn't love God because I didn't know how to love God. I loved Him intellectually. I loved Him because I heard enough about Him to know that He died for me, and I appreciated that, and that was enough to get my attention. But I tell you right now, I didn't love Him the way I love Him now, 30 or 40 years down the line. Because in that time period, you see Him at work, you see only the good character qualities that He displays. He has never hurt me, He's never left me, He's met all of my needs, He's done everything that I could ask Him to do. Now, that is my model for what I need to be to my wife. And I need to take the same things that God has done to me, and husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Now, men typically always get the verse down that says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands unto the Lord. Now, that's their favorite verse. They have that on their coffee cups. They leave it on the refrigerator. I even saw it on a license plate one time. But there's two sides to it. Yes, she is supposed to do that. Whether she does or not depends on how you treat her. You know what makes me 30 years into this, 40 years into this, make me want to love God and serve Him more every day? Is all the good things that He's done for me. When you treat your wife like Christ treats you, and I know you can't all the time, you're going to come home and do some dumb things. You're going to leave stuff in the sink, you shouldn't do it. I mean, Christ doesn't do that. You're going to drop something on the floor. You're going to get something out of the refrigerator, leave the ice cream bowl over here. Christ always puts the ice cream container back in when He's done. You're not. I'm not. You're going to get some cookies and milk in the middle of the night. You're going to flop back to bed, you know, and you're going to leave the milk out. It's going to be full. God always puts the milk away when He's done. He's perfect. We're not. So we're going to make mistakes. And we're going to do some dumb things. But the point I'm trying to make is, overall, in your process, in your marriage relationship, you need, as a man, to realize that your wife's spirituality, your wife's devotion to you, your wife's dedication to you, and your wife willingly, submittingly to submit herself and obey you as unto the Lord is dependent on you loving her as Christ loved the church. Let me tell you something. If Christ was a bad leader, I would be a rotten Christian. Well, I'm still a rotten Christian, but I'd be a lot worse than I am. The thing that makes Christianity work so well is His perfect leadership. The thing that makes a marriage work so well is the husband's, I'm not going to say perfect because you can't be perfect, but perfect in the sense of doing the best you can, understanding your relationship with God and the Word of God and how you're to lead the wife and that she'll follow you. And that's what he's talking about here. That's the model. So marriage is a complex thing. God knew that. For Christians, it should not be a complex thing because the book of Ephesians, which is the book that really expounds on the church and reveals the church, he gives us this chapter to tell us that my relationship with Christ is the model for my relationship with my wife. Her relationship with Christ is her model for her relationship to me. And yes, she's supposed to reverence me as unto the Lord. She's supposed to wife, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. No question about that. But down here in the next verse, down here in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. If the husband is to be the head of the house, and he is, if he's to be the leader, and he is, then he's to be the right leader. If he's the right leader, she'll be the right follower. If he's the wrong leader, she'll be the wrong follower. In other words, just like the responsibility of the church, right or wrong, rests in Christ doing what's right, the responsibility in a marriage situation rests with the husband doing what's right. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to always do what's right, but it means at the end of the day, 75% of it is right. You're going to fail, and you're going to have, in any couple, getting married, anybody working out, you know, starting this thing out, you're going to have to go through some things, but it's the concept you got to have. You got to realize and understand that your job as a husband, all of us, is to display those character qualities that Christ has displayed to you. A good thing to do is to sit down sometime and write them down. Get verses. Take an afternoon when you have some time, you want a little personal Bible study, just stop and consider all the good things that Christ has brought into the relationship that he has with you. List them out. And then when you're done, those are the same things you need to transpose into the relationship with your wife. And I promise you, when you do that, she'll follow you anywhere. Just like I'll follow Christ anywhere. If he asked me to go to Africa tomorrow, I'd go. If he told me to go to the North Pole tomorrow, and I was sure that's what he wanted me to do, I'd go. You know why? Because he's proven himself that he's the right leader, and I know I can trust him in wherever he wants me to go. In time, that should be just the way the husband and wife relationship is. Now, it doesn't mean that your wife doesn't have a say in it. As you get a little older in life, you realize that as men, we can sometimes see things that are... can't see things that a woman can see. And sometimes, you know, a wife will say, you know, I think if you had to look, nope, I know exactly what I'm doing now, I can handle this. And down the line, we saw that she probably, let me say this, women have an insight into things, and this is why God gave you a help meet. Go back in Genesis, God says when he brought Eve down to Adam, he gave him a help meet. He didn't give him a help mate. It's M-E-E-T, not M-A-T-E. Animals have mates. Humans have meats. He gave you a meat, a help meat. M-E-E-T. That meat means he gave her to you to help meet the needs that you have to deal with in life. In other words, her opinion is valuable. And listen to her. Doesn't mean that you don't have to make the ultimate decision. It doesn't mean that you may have to say, honey, I appreciate what you're saying, but you know, you're going to have to trust me on this because you know this is what we're going to do. And then when you wreck the car, you won't say, I told you so. But it's one of those things where you've got to see it as a partnership. And that's true with God. The Lord allows you access to Him to tell you what you're feeling. He may or may not yield to what you feel. But he'll certainly listen. You can bring your petitions to him. You can lay out anything you want to lay out. When you don't have a good day, you got to tell God about it. There's been days that you go through the Bible, you'll find all kinds of guys that Jeremiah, when he back there in the book of Jeremiah, he got dumped down in a dung hole over there, you know, up to his armpits, and he quit preaching, wasn't going to preach anymore. He's mad at God, and he tells God he's mad at God. Job's the same way. Job said to God, get away, let me just drown in my own spit. I mean, they have a relationship where they can tell God what they're feeling, and God doesn't take offense at that. As long as God knows that you love him. He understands where you're at. He's tempted on all points like we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. So he allows us to have that. Your marriage ought to be one of open dialogue. You ought to be able to talk about anything. You ought to listen to your wife, say whatever she's feeling, and take time to hear where she's at. Same way with a wife. Talk. Communicate. Communication is the key to any marriage. It's key to your relationship with God. Bottom line is, when God wrote the Bible, he spoke to you. When you pray to God, you speak to him. You don't have those two elements in your life, you have a lack of communication. And when I say prayer, I don't mean you sit at the table and get on your knees and bow your feet. You can talk to God all day long. Your life with God, it'll be one of open communication 24 hours a day. Same way with your wife or your husband. You ought to be able to just sit down and talk things through. You ought to be able to work things through. And absolutely, the key is that she is to reverence her husband as unto the Lord. She recognizes that he is the spiritual leader of the home, so you better be. He is the leader of the home in other matters, so you better be. Be the best leader you can be. But at the same time, it doesn't take away from your manlihood, or it doesn't take away from your manhood, or it doesn't take away from your responsibility to allow her to be part of the organization, and let her, there's things that she will do infinitely better than you do. Don't let it be a source of pride that it does. I mean, in my family, my wife pays the bills. I don't know anything about it. I don't know. I have never written a check in my life. I'm sorry. I say, honey, I need a check. Where do I sign this thing at? Get it all ready to go. I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it. She pays the bills. She takes care of all those stuff. Now, so for some guys, they got to pay the bills. Man, more power to you. That's just one less thing I got to deal with. I'd rather walk the dogs. I'm sorry. You know, I don't need those things. And you come into your relationship, or all of you folks have been married older, longer, you know, longer than some of the younger ones, you know, you come to that place where it all evens itself out, and you find out who does what better and who does this better. You know, I mean, 3 or 4 months, she's going to quit her third job, and then she'll just have to work the two. You know, she'll get to that place. Or at least a night job, you know. But, you know, it's one of those things, Marion, where it's a two-way street. And if a man wants his wife to reverence him, it's not a thing where you just come in and demand, you follow me. Because you make a couple of bad mistakes and she's not going to follow you. The reason why in other words, you don't want her to follow you because you tell her to. You want her to follow you because she wants to. And that's the key. And the thing that makes her want to is because if she loves God and she loves the Lord and she sees you loving God and you loving the Lord and God leading you in your life, she will do whatever you want her to do. That doesn't mean you don't have to work out some deals. You may want to buy this. You may say no. She may want to buy this. You may say no. Those are things you got to straighten out, you know, and just got to work through. But overall, in the big picture, the concept is that the man is to be the spiritual leader. And the woman is to be the follower, and she is one where, but it's not one on demand. It's a place where they work together. Just in the example is my relationship with Christ and her relationship with Christ, and when you use that as a model, you never go wrong. So that's what he's talking about in Ephesians. Does that help you? Still want to get married?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Anybody want to give any other marital examples of that? You old people married longer than that, you probably know. Chris, does your wife pay the bills or you pay the bills?
I do.
You do.
And I'm proud of it.
All right. Okay. All right. John, you were going to say something here. Well, I know what you're saying, but let me just defend the women here for a minute. I'll tell you what, and I'm speaking for myself now, and this is confession. I'll tell you, I think sometimes as men, especially when our wives work, I think that we forget, you know, that they work hard all day. I mean, you know what? Here's the bottom line. I go to work, my wife goes to work. She works just as hard as I do. Maybe not in the heat and maybe not in the same way, but for her, she works just as hard as I do. So I come home, and what do? I take the dogs out. I feed the dogs. Then I always usually go to El Caucho's. It's a Mexican place that I really enjoy. And I hang out at El Caucho's for a while. You know? And I'll do things. Dogs got to go out about every other hour. You know, I'll do things. I'll get under the couch and get the tennis balls out so Tinker's got something to play with. But you see, she comes home. She had to clean. I mean, I thought the house looked fine. But she's... But, you know, she comes home, we're after working all day, she cleaned, I heard the vacuum running up here, you know, and I'm praying for her, God give her the strength, you know, to get she does that, she does the laundry, She pays the bills. She does the grocery shopping. She does all of those things. Now, and so me, I come up here, you know, and I'm going to get me a fudgesicle, you know. I eat me a fudgesicle over here, and then I got something else I need to do, so I lay the fudgesicle stick down over here. And I'll go over here and do something, and what happens? In my busy schedule, I forget the fudgesicle stick, you know. Or I'll get something to drink, you know, and I'll leave a mess over here. And, you know, I mean, hey, I'm the pastor of the old Bass Baptist Church. I've got things I got to do. So I'm out doing these things. And, you know, now she's worked all day, cleaned everything. And now, you know, we could go into the bathroom, you know. I mean, when I do the toothpaste, man, I don't know why it squirts all over the mirror. I don't understand it. I mean, I just get it on here, you know, and then you spit it in the sink, and then you don't wash it down. You leave them big things of toothpaste in there. I mean, you shave or trim your mustache, and there's hair all over everything in there. Hey, you know what? I got to go to work. I'm sorry. This is not my job. This is women's work. Well, let me tell you something. See, we take, and that's the way man thinks, and that's wrong, and I'm wrong. And I just told you that, and had a good laugh out of it, but I feel I'm telling you the truth. That's, I mean, it's a two-way street. And, you know, I have vowed before God on my King James Bible that I'm going to pick up my fudgesicle sticks, you know, and do whatever I can do. But I'm not perfect. I mean, when you've been a slob for 45 years of your life, you just don't turn on a dime and give yourself 9 cents change. So, I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, that's the kind of consideration you got to give them. They work hard too. And we get this thing in our mind, you know, well, I go to work and I come home, why isn't my dinner on the table, you know? Well, because she worked hard too, and she's still doing laundry, and she's doing this and she's doing that. Well, we're down, you know, doing what we want to do. So keep that in mind, man. I'm just telling you, that's what you got to do. You got to understand those things. You got to realize that they work just as hard as you do. And even if they don't work and they stay home with the kids, it's a full-time job, believe me. So you just got to let them cut them some slack and realize that, hey, you know, I mean, I don't expect my wife to cook dinner. I'll come home and cook dinner myself. There's one of them babies in a microwave, and I'm ready to go, buddy. I can eat. I can cook. I can cook 9 minutes. I got it. Got it written down in my wallet. 9 minutes. So, that's where you're at. So, it's a two-way street. Life is something that you, in marriage, you have to work on and work at together. And it's not always easy. And for marriages to stay together today, it's a rare thing. It really is. It was a rare thing. I was over to LIMAX last week, and a buddy of mine comes over there, and we were doing some stuff on his telescope, and his girlfriend, and he's old, he's probably older, he's probably as old as I am, maybe a little younger than I am. And I guess it was his girlfriend. She was there, and he said, hey, the last time I saw you, you were celebrating your 35th wedding anniversary. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, congratulations. And she got out of the car, and she said, well, that is just so, she says, that's just so wonderful. She said, that's just such a great thing, you know, that she was going on and on and on and on and on, you know, because in the day and age, she says, you know, no marriages stay together, you know, and she'd probably been divorced, and I know he has, you know, one of those things. And I told her, I said, yeah, I said, in 35 years of marriage, we've never discussed divorce. Murder a couple of times, but, you know, never divorce, you know. But that's what you got to work at it. You just got to work at it, and you got to use this as the base text for what you do. Understanding. Husbands, love your wives, even as, boy, that's the key. Boy, that little two little words right there will break your back. Even as Christ loved the church, and then it gets even worse. He just didn't love the church. He put the ice cream away when he was done and gave himself for it. So, and then, woman, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. And really, before you get to those two verses, if you look at the verse up there before that, verse 21, is really the thing. This came kind of like in a capsule. But really, the whole key is verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So it's a submitting each other to each other first. And then it talks about the wife, she being the weaker vessel. Then it talks about the husband. In fact, if you go down through here, he'll give you more verses to the husband than he does the wife. Simply because he is the head of the deal and he's supposed to be the leader. And that's what you're dealing with. So, does that help you? Answer your question? Sorry, ask it? No. No, you'll be just fine. Getting a good woman. Anybody want to add anything to that?
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Yeah, it absolutely is a balance. And I was with you. I will fix dinner, too, and not even out of a box. I'll put stuff together, you know.
Yeah, well, I would if I could, but hey. My, you know, I'm willing in my heart.
I do make out the household bills, but see, she's got that business, and so she does more work on that business than I'd ever think about doing in my job. Sometimes I feel guilty because I just go out and drive a truck all day and sit there. And she's there and hauling furniture. She does, I'm telling you, she does all sorts of stuff.
I'll tell you what, we're gonna go. Hey, I can see it. This is like the wave at the Chiefs game. We're going around the room. All the men are gonna confess tonight to their shortcomings. I started something here.
Now, she doesn't.
What do you do with your fudgesicle stick?
Well, if she's looking, they're in the trash. Now I do have a bad habit of leaving dishes in the sink.
Yeah.
I do that, and she does tell me about that. She, like I said, I got to get up early, so I don't have time a lot of times before I go to bed, you know, to put that away.
In the dishwasher.
Well, you know, that was always a thing, too, that I'd leave stuff on the plate and they'd dry during the night. But I figured out the dogs will lick them plates just as clean as can be. And just put them back in the drink up there. Nobody knows the difference, man.
Put them back in the cabinet. We told somebody that one time. Letting the dogs lick the plates so they get them so clean, we just put them back in the cabinet. You know, them people never came back.
Well, I could probably see if they thought you were telling the truth. I mean, I'd come back, but I'd just say no thanks. You know, I don't want to do it. Yeah, we brought our own plates. We're just going to get them. That's funny. Let me tell you something. Marriage is a great institution. Well, not an institution. I guess it is an institution, but you know what I'm saying. Yes, another question or along the same line? Go ahead, Pam. Newly married Pam here. She's getting ready to confess now. By the way, Pam has more shoes than Marco's his wife. Why you put the word own in there, you mean?
Yeah, because are they having problems submitting to their own husband?
Who's having problems?
Well, I mean, his instructions. Yeah.
Oh, the women have it? Well, it could be. I never really saw that. It could be.
I just didn't know why he specifically said your own husband.
Yeah, and that may be something that was going on. I don't know how you'd know that, but it could be that. That is kind of strange that he would say, because he could have said wives to their husbands and everything.
Because in 24 it says, as the church subject to Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands and everything.
Well, the only other thing it might be is he may have put own husbands in there to emphasize Christ as the head of the church up there in the first part of the verse. But it may be what you said. I never thought of that. I mean, there's always problems going on in these churches and that's why he's writing these letters to them. And we get them, and we look at them for us, but sometimes we forget why he wrote them. So I can't answer that yes or no, but it certainly could be possible, yeah. That's a good observation.
He says the same thing in Colossians 3.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's a good point. Anybody want to add anything to that? That's good. That's a good question, Mary.